May it please the court, my name is Jeff Dykes. My attorney registration number is 37746. I am representing Granite Southlands Town Center LLC, the appellant in this case. Granite is the party that purchased the Southlands Mall in Aurora in December of 2008. This case arises superficially, it may appear, from an ordinary proceeding to confirm an arbitration award. But the proceeding below was not ordinary. The normal purpose of asking to have an arbitration award confirmed is to enable a prevailing plaintiff to collect, to use the force of the state in collecting a judgment. But that was not the purpose here. The award in this case does not adjudicate any liability on the part of any party. The so-called award in this case, I refer to it as the award because that's the title that it bears, arbitration award. We contend that the arbitration award, or the paper so titled, is in fact not an award in substance. It does not adjudicate liability. It does not specify any damages. If this so-called award were converted into a judgment and handed to the sheriff for enforcement, the sheriff would not know what to do. The sheriff would not know against whom to enforce it or for how much. The true purpose and the only purpose of seeking confirmation of this purported award in this case is to impair or cut off Granite's claim against the Callison architectural firm on account of defects at the Southlands Town Center.
Mr. Dykes, let me ask you about this arbitration. Is the subject of the arbitration a transaction between parties, or is the subject of the arbitration property interests?
The arbitration concerned the property. It concerned claims relating to the property and claims relating to Callison's work. And most of all, the arbitration concerned because it resulted in a paper entitled Arbitration Award. The court's question may be geared to the language of Rule 24A.
It is.
Which speaks of property or transaction. I would submit that in a case such as this one, it's not altogether clear what property or transaction should mean within the meaning of that rule. But I think regardless of what meaning one may attach, whether it's the property itself, that is the town center, whether it's the work that was done and the claim related to it, or the resulting so-called award, regardless of which is thought to be the subject of the transaction of this proceeding, in any case, Granite has a very real and palpable and certainly not a speculative interest in that transaction or property. The purpose, I've said, of seeking confirmation was to affect Granite's claim, not to pursue any claim of the parties to the actual proceeding. And I think that...
Pardon me for interrupting, if I may, Mr. Dykes, please. Would Granite have been allowed to intervene in the arbitration itself?
That question is not absolutely answerable. This much we do know. The rules of the Arbitration Association, American Arbitration Association, under which this arbitration was administered, do not provide for intervention by a non-party on its own motion.
Now, what about the agreement in this case? Would that have provided a basis for Granite to intervene?
There was no agreement, to my knowledge, and certainly not in the record, that would entitle Granite to intervene. Now, there was a mechanism. That is, the parties, either Alberta or Callison, could have filed a motion to ask that Granite be, in effect, invited into the proceeding.
And didn't, in fact, one of the parties do that?
And neither of the parties did that. Neither of the parties did that.
Well, effectively, in asking to designate Granite as the real party in interest, I mean, aren't they inviting Granite's participation?
They were not. The straight answer to that question is not. There was a motion filed by Callison, and we know this by reference to the arbitration award, so titled, itself.
Your client knew that was happening, that they were seeking to designate Granite as the real party in interest.
Well, the motion was not exactly to designate Granite as the real party in interest. The motion was to have Alberta's claim dismissed on the ground that it was not the real party in interest. They said, no, it's not the old owner, the seller, that really owns this claim. It's the new
Regardless
owner.
Of what relief they sought in that particular pleading, though, at that point, Granite knew that something was happening with regard to these parties, with regard to, you know, something to do with the center. Why didn't Granite at that point intervene in the, or attempt to intervene, or do something, speak up?
Well, Granite did speak up, and perhaps it's worth recounting a slight amount of the chronology. I know the court is familiar with the facts from the brief, but the purchase occurred, the closing occurred in December of 2008. At that time, an arbitration proceeding was pending, had been initiated by Alberta against the Callison Architectural Firm. So the seller, for 11 months, had been involved in an arbitration without notice to Granite and without knowledge of Granite. Granite had no information about this arbitration proceeding at all, or about the latent defects that it later found in the property. Now, by March of 2009, 3 months later, Granite had learned of the defects, cracked foundations, other related type of structural defects.
And it also learned that this arbitration proceeding was going on.
And they did learn that, and here's how that happened. Granite wrote a letter to Callison, also to others who had worked on the project, putting them on notice of a potential claim, asking them to preserve records relating to that potential claim. And in response, this is reflected in the transcript of the status conference in the court below. In response, Granite received a letter from Callison's counsel saying, we assume you know about this ongoing arbitration proceeding. That was our first notice in March of that year. According to the arbitration award, so titled, the very next month, Callison filed a motion in the arbitration proceeding seeking a determination that Alberta's claim be dismissed because Granite, not Alberta.
And we know that. What we don't understand is why didn't, come March, when you know your client found out that something was happening with arbitration, why then at that point they seek to have some role or some participation in the arbitration itself? They know something's going on. Why did they wait until September, until they went to get this confirmed?
Well, the new owner, Granite, was at that point a new owner. It was only discovering then the facts surrounding these defects. It had not had an opportunity to engage structural engineers and other experts to investigate the cause of these claims. It did not take the approach of sue first and ask questions later. Not only that, as stated earlier, the rules of the Arbitration Association do not permit a party on its own motion to take any action to intervene. That is something that is left up to the parties. Now, we have this information as well. When we did try to intervene, September the 23rd, I believe, 29th, I think, September 29th, 2009, when we did try to intervene after receiving service in every possible way of the purported arbitration award, through registered agent, through regular mail, through fax, through email, it was quite obvious that someone was hoping we would sleep on our rights. Someone was hoping that they would be in a position today to say, these people had their chance, we gave them notice, and they did nothing. But we received notice, and when we did try to intervene, not sleeping on our rights, did they say, all right, come on in, and we'll hash this issue out with you? No. They took exactly the opposite position. They said, do not let these people intervene. Now, that was their position when it came time for the confirmation proceeding. Would it have been different if we had somehow tried to crash the party, even though there was no invitation for us to do so, or any provision for us to do so? I don't think it's possible to answer that situation.
But then when you did try to intervene into the confirmation proceedings, you asked to be allowed to take discovery.
We asked to be heard, and certainly we did ask also to take discovery. But whether discovery would have been required or whether everything could have been handled by stipulation is unknowable at this point because we were denied even an opportunity to be heard on a jurisdictional question, a type of question which we respectfully suggest that the courts should be careful about, even zealous about, that is, respecting the jurisdiction that has been granted by the legislature and by the Constitution of the state of Colorado. But we were denied the opportunity even to address that question. That's what we tried to do, was to intervene, and we were met not only by an opposition, but by a request for sanctions. The Granite and, the Alberta and Callison parties said not only don't let them in, punish them for even asking to be heard in this situation.
Mr. Dykes, excuse me, but refresh my recollection, was the suit that Granite lodged against Alberta in federal court dismissed under Rule 41?
That case is now in two pieces. There is one piece that is pending in the Tenth Circuit because we were denied leave to amend our complaint, and we've appealed that piece. The other piece is pending. We tried that case in February, and the ruling is pending. It was tried before visiting Judge Johnson from New York. So,
seek rescission in that case or just damages?
We did not seek rescission. We sought damages.
And is Alberta the only defendant in that case? Or the Alberta entities?
Alberta is not the only defendant. Alberta, and in addition, there are two individuals who are principals of...
But the architectural firm is not part of that case?
The architectural firm is not. Now, there is still a third case. If I count that one I just mentioned as two cases, then I would have to say a fourth case, pending in Arapaho County. In that case, Callison is a defendant, and Callison has filed an answer. We've asked this court to take judicial notice of that related case. In that related case, Callison has pleaded claim preclusion, issue preclusion, res judicata, collateral estoppel, and is specifically referred in its answer to this purported arbitration award that we're dealing with in this case. So, again, confirming, I would submit, that the purpose of this award, which was requested by Alberta, and as reflected in the award, is to cut off Granite's claim. It's to form a defense to Granite's claim against Callison. Now, Callison has not denied that in its brief, neither has Alberta. And I would submit that if it wishes to deny that, if it wishes to inform this court of any other purpose other than the one I've suggested, that today, here, now, would be the time for it to do that. Now, we asked to be heard, as I said, in the trial court, and we're here asking this court, similarly, to be heard in the matter. Rule 24A is the controlling rule for the intervention. For reasons of time, I think I'll stop now unless the court has a particular question on any aspect of the case and reserve the rather small balance of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Dykes. You have a minute and 35 seconds remaining for rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Stuart Bennett, attorney registration number 5682. I represent Alberta Town Center. At council table with me is Mr. Jim Stetzer from Seattle and Mr. David Arkell, both of whom represent Callison. We are all appellees in this matter as well. Alberta Town Center is a cross appellant with respect to its request for attorney's fees in the trial court and in the Court of Appeals. We have agreed to split our time approximately equally, so I will try to keep my remarks to about 7 or 8 minutes so that Mr. Stetzer will have time to address the court. As you know from reading the briefs, the two appellees have slightly different approaches to the argument in this matter. My client, Alberta, starts with Rule 24 and discusses whether Granite made a showing under CRCP 24A2 sufficient to justify its intervention. After that, we both address then whether the pleading that Granite wanted to file, and it never really actually filed such a pleading along with its motion to intervene, but whether its defenses that it wanted to raise in the proceeding were cognizable in a confirmation proceeding. We argue that, Alberta argues that we don't get to the merits of the of that argument because intervention was never granted. Callison takes a slightly different approach and says, because they did not make a showing of anything that was cognizable in the confirmation proceeding, whether they were granted leave or not is irrelevant. Doesn't really matter. It's harmless error. So we have a slightly different approach, but we both agree that Granite's attempted showing of what it wanted to do in this confirmation proceeding did not state a claim that could be heard in a confirmation proceeding, because it's a limited statutory proceeding.
Mr. Bennett, your opponent takes the position that that Callison would argue that that Granite is bound by the arbitration award. What's Alberta's position on that issue?
We don't take a position on that issue. To me, whether the arbitration award has any preclusive effect exists solely because of the arbitration award. If it does, then it has to meet the other requirements for preclusion under Colorado law. Whether it's confirmed or not has no bearing on its preclusive effect. And quite frankly, Alberta does not claim that it has preclusive effect. We have not answered this lawsuit in Arapahoe County, so we've never stated a position on it, and we don't take a position here. It'll have its effect based upon the award if it has any. And quite frankly, I don't know if it will, because I don't know the context in which this whole issue will come up.
Which is a bit different than saying, as I understand your argument, that the only final order here that can be appealed is the order denying intervention.
That is Alberta's position. The only order that's on appeal is the motion denying intervention, because it's not clear from the trial court's ruling whether it even considered Granite's objections to confirmation. Having denied intervention, it seems logical to me that it didn't consider whatever it wanted to argue, because it you don't decide the merits of a dispute when you're deciding whether you have the right to even raise those merits. We cite that masonry case, it's called Principle of Grand Lodge or something for that proposition. So I agree with the last thing Mr. Dyke said, is 24A2 is really the controlling issue here. And of course, you're familiar with the rule. It requires a couple of things. One, it requires that Granite show an interest in the subject of the dispute. The dispute here was a confirmation of an arbitration award. So that was a matter that was pending in the trial court. And Granite made no effort to show that it had any interest in the confirmation. It said, we want to take discovery. We want to find out what the claims were in the arbitration, and we want to be heard. That is not a showing of an interest in the underlying transaction. And the issue that was in the arbitration is in the arbitration award, which is found at on the record on appeal at 217. It is a dispute between Alberta and Callison, and this is on page 218, page 2 of the arbitration award. It was a dispute that Callison breached the November 2004 architectural engineering services contract between Callison and Southlands Town Center LLC, which is a predecessor to Alberta. So it was a contract dispute.
Mr. Bennett, can you address, please, the same question that we asked your opponent, which is, was there a mechanism by which Granite could have participated in the underlying arbitration? And if so, what was that mechanism?
I don't know what would have transpired had Granite sought leave to intervene in the arbitration. I don't know what the panel would have done with that. I don't know if there's a specific rule. I can't find one in the AAA that says that was the governing rules under this arbitration, whether they would have been permitted to intervene or not. I don't know. They didn't try, so we have no way of knowing what arguments they would have advanced or what the panel would have done with that. But it's real clear that they knew of the arbitration from March 2009, and they did absolutely nothing until September of 2009. So, and that is Mr. Stetzer's issue. He's going to talk about the timeliness of their motion to intervene. The other thing that Granite did not establish, and I really commend you to look at their motion to intervene. It's 3 pages long. It's found in the record at, I think it's 85 or something. They made no showing of an interest in the contract, which was the subject of the arbitration. They made no showing of any impairment or impedance in their assertion of their rights. To me, the best case that we have for that is the Fagan versus Alexa Group case that we cite in our brief. And there the Supreme Court said, you're impaired or impeded in your assertion of your rights if the disposition of the case you want to intervene prevents, it's the word the Supreme Court uses, prevents from you asserting your rights. And the answer to that is real clear. Nothing in this arbitration award has prevented Granite from asserting its rights. It's already told you it filed a suit against Alberta in the U.S. District Court, which it lost. It was dismissed. It filed a suit against Alberta's principals for fraud, which it lost and which is now on appeal. It filed a suit against Alberta with respect to some escrow money from the closing. That is still pending before Judge Johnson. It filed a lawsuit against Callison and Alberta in the Arapahoe County District Court, which it is prosecuting. So nothing about this arbitration award has prevented Granite from doing anything. It is out there forging ahead, filing lawsuits against us left and right. So nothing in this confirmation proceeding impeded or impaired it from inserting its rights. Now, I better stop because I promised Mr. Stetzer I'd give him some time.
May it please the court. Counsel. My name is James Stetzer. I'm with Lane Powell. I've appeared pro hoc under the tutelage and supervision of my mentor, Mr. Arkell. I have been counsel for Callison for almost 3 decades. I was the lead lawyer in the underlying arbitration. I'd like to speak to some of the questions that the panel asked and also reinforce some notions in our briefing. I want to make sure there isn't confusion about an award versus a confirmation. I want to make sure that the court understands the context in which the award was entered. The underlying dispute details are important. The award details are important, and I'll also share some thoughts regarding intervention. But in short, Callison seeks to have the underlying confirmation sustained and believes that the court properly confirmed the underlying award and properly denied intervention by Granite. I think that the award is quite significant. It's been handed up to you this morning, and it does reflect a finding, as an explicit finding and an explicit award. It finds in particular that Alberta is the real party in interest with respect to the claims in the arbitration, whether asserted or assertable, and concludes by saying that the award and panel, by the way, the panel had two retired judges and a well-known real estate lawyer who dealt with these issues for about 20 months following 3 months of ADR efforts. And what's a little interesting is that the mediator by contract became the lead arbitrator. So this panel was fully advised about the underlying facts of the case. A complicated construction case, 200 gigabytes of documents produced, 20 depositions, multiple motions, a big deal. We don't want to go through that again. We want to have final resolution with respect to the arbitration. And that's one of the reasons that, in addition to the award with its finding, we would want confirmation of that award.
Pardon me for interrupting you, Mr. Stetzer, if I may, please.
Yes, Your Honor.
I guess I've got sort of mixed messages here. I'm hoping if you can sort it out for me because I'm a little confused. On one hand, we have Granite saying we're hurt. On the other hand, Mr. Bennett's saying Granite's not hurt. If Granite is going to be hurt by something in the arbitration, it makes sense that they might want to get involved in it or the confirmation. If they're not going to be hurt by anything, if, in other words, they're going to be able to do everything that they want to do, then that's not necessarily important for them to get involved. So I guess I'm going down to a pretty fundamental level here, but Is Granite hurt?
My response to that is layered, and I would say not, in particular, because what they're trying to do by intervening was too little too late. I put great significance on the fact that Granite was well advised about what was happening. They were, in fact, invited to participate, and the construction rules that pertain here allow joinder of parties. And this was a perfect case for that. Had Granite then taken the position when it was fully appraised of the arbitration details and what was at stake, they could have. And AAA Rule 7, as I recall, provides for joinder. The case law and the AAA rules have a preference, if you will, in connection with joinder in the sense of substituted parties. Remember that Granite is in privity of contract with Alberta,
so
stranger, so they could have.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you do have an answer for the could they intervene question, and your answer is yes, they could.
Absolutely, they could have, they should have, and we wish they had, because it would have added clarity, and it would have been, I think, beneficial. I think what we really have is too little too late. I think perhaps there was a strategic decision made by Granite, because if they did appear, if they did substitute, or if they did intervene, they could be subject to the counterclaims by Callison for fees, because there were substantial design consulting fees unpaid, which were part of the arbitration, and they could have been subject to attorney fees. So I think they made a decision not to participate. They did it knowingly. But again, as to the distinction between an award on the one hand and the confirmation process on the other, the award is what it is. It has the effect that it has. We may not know precisely the scope and ambit yet. There is collateral litigation. Granite certainly has a proclivity for filing actions. They know how to act. They've acted elsewhere. And indeed, even with respect to the very matter before you, where they sought to intervene, I think they were properly denied in that effort. But they didn't even make an effort to, for example, sequester funds that might have been available pursuant to the arbitration and the settlement. So they acted with schizophrenia, and I think that they have to live with that.
If I may go back to my question, though, I don't think you're telling me whether they're hurt or not. I mean, they're saying that the whole purpose of this is to lock them out from suing your client and holding your client liable. Now, that's an argument that they were hurt and they should have been there. Now, are you telling me that that's not so?
Judge Hagelin, the trial court initially hearing this matter, had a status conference, and he commented that from what he saw, it maybe was premature to determine the scope and ambit of any preclusion. The award is the award. And the fact that Callison has introduced affirmative defenses, which include collateral estoppel and res judicata, is something that can and will be litigated in that form.
Mr. Stetzer, when you say the award is the award, as a matter of fact, an arbitration award is not appealable. It's final award, and there really was no reason, was there, to ask for confirmation in district court for the award. I mean, if the parties to the arbitration agree, that's it.
There are several responses to that very important question. One of them has already been alluded to, and that is that the Alberta folks had a reason to have confirmation to make sure that the confidential settlement sum was in fact paid. And if it wasn't paid, then they would have remedies in a court of law with respect to enforcement of the award. Secondarily, a number of interested parties here didn't want to pay twice for the same thing, and having a judicial a recognition of the award and a confirmation of the award was felt to be important, and I think it remains so. I may have used up my time. Any other questions that I can
entertain? Thank you, Mr. Stetzer.
Thank you.
Mr. Dykes?
I'll be brief, partly because I must. I want to respond to
to Mr. Bennett's argument that the confirmation really adds nothing to the purported award, which I think corresponds to the question was Granite hurt? Yes, we would be hurt by confirmation of the award for maybe more than two reasons, but I'll start with these two. First, a confirmation would elevate a private agreement into a judgment of a court of law of this state, a court of record. It would create a decision, a stare decisis, which we would then have to deal with. Now, is stare decisis the type of harm that the courts look to when they're deciding intervention issues? Yes. And for that proposition, I point to the San Juan County case, an en banc decision by the 10th Circuit under the identically same rule on the federal side, and specifically to page 503 Federal 3rd 1198. The Feigen case and the San Juan County case are two very central cases on this issue of intervention. But at that page, the court, the 10th Circuit, recognizes that stare decisis can be the type of harm that the court should look to in deciding intervention issues. It also, a confirmation would also jurisdictionally recognize that this paper with the title Arbitration Award, indeed, it would bless it. It would sanction it and recognize it and hold it to be a true arbitration award. We would be in the position to contest that. We would be in the position of collaterally attacking a judgment. And I see that the red light has gone on, so I'll conclude there.
Thank you, Mr. Dykes. Thanks to both, to all three counsel for your fine arguments. The matter is deemed submitted, and you can expect a written opinion to issue in due course.